We're learning the Kuntras HaChesed. Rabbi Dessler's series of essays on the forces of giving and taking. And the topic we started in the last class is that of ambition. Ambition. We're on the Hebrew, in the Hebrew version of the Michta Meliyah, is volume 1, page 40. What we mentioned in the last class was that normally people admire an ambitious person. An ambitious person is admired. People look up to an ambitious person. And in fact, one of the writers wrote that ambition is life. To have ambition is to be alive. And Rav Dessler disagrees. He says ambition...
Who disagrees?
Rabbi Dessler disagrees. He says that ambition is a hunger. And hunger is not life. A living person has a hunger, but hunger is not the definition of life. And similarly, all types of... So like a person's hungry for food. So his hunger for food doesn't define him. He needs to eat in order to live, but that's not his life. His food is not his life. And similarly, other types of ambitions are also different types of hunger. So therefore, for instance, the rabbis have said someone who loves money is never satisfied by money. He's hungry for money, he's never satisfied by money. It's a type of hunger. Other types of ambitions for material goods, material wealth, are also types of hunger. This is true also in the animal kingdom, the concept of hunger, except there's a big difference between people and animals. Even the most extreme example of an animal is the pig. The pig we discussed has a constant hunger. He's always hungry, but he was compensated. Hashem compensated within nature for the pig is that he can eat anything. So he's hungry all the time. He eats all day, but he's able to eat garbage. He's able to eat garbage. So therefore, he can live totally always fulfilling his hunger. And in a sense, that makes the pig the happiest creature of all. He's always fulfilling his pleasure is to fulfill his need, and that is the highest pleasure. However, for people it's different, because a person doesn't just hunger naturally; he also hungers for desires that his imagination conjures up for him. As he enters a whole mindset where he makes for himself different goals and different objectives, different dreams, and these are desires, these are hungers, and they're manufactured by his mind. It's not like an animal's natural. A human also has a natural hungers, naturally hungry, naturally thirsty, naturally tired, needs to sleep, whatever. But there's also these manufactured hungers that are invented by his inclinations. So the text says as follows in the third paragraph: Lo kein ha'odam hara'ev letayvus hitzre. This is not the case with a person who is hunger for the desires of his inclination. This which he has a drive towards, this that he desires very much, is very distant from him. He has dreams and desires, but they're far away. They're far from away from his reality. Milchomek Veden becomes a very hard battle. Of a merit rav, and with great ambition, great drive, great determination, Ilachem ad yagia afel chelik min hashifosu. He will fight on to get into even part of what his real dream is. And even if he lives for many, many years, lo yasig el chetze, he will not even reach the halfway point. And it's because it's a moving target, because it keeps growing his desire. So therefore, he never reaches. He has this desire for some imagined greatness, imagined glory, or it's a wealth, or it's a fame, prestige, or the love of other people. So that dream that he has, he never reaches even halfway mark. Moshe Amru Chazal, as our rabbis have taught, A person doesn't leave this world with even half of his desires in his hand. And worse than this, his hunger is not limited to what he lacks at that time alone. This is even more exaggerated. He doesn't even hunger for what he's lacking now. He also is hungry for the worry that he might be lacking in the future. He starts imagining that, okay, now everything is fine, but what's going to be later? So he's hungry for what he imagines he'll be missing in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 20 years' time. Problems that might come in the future, or problems that will come in the future, and therefore his hunger is doubled and tripled because he wants to fulfill that hunger for the future also. He's concerned for all types of different times. Right? Different types of times, different types of situations. Maybe there could be all sorts of disasters. Who knows what will be in the future? And even though he's in doubt whether he'll even be alive at that point, he's worried about a time he might not even be in this world anymore, but he's already worried maybe he'll be alive and then maybe he won't have enough. So he starts worrying about the future. In addition, another type of hunger is he's worried about that his children will be hungry, his children will be lacking. So he's worried about his children also. Lachonus calls it, and to such a degree that his hunger, his great hunger, will cause him to work this back-breaking work, crushing work, to prepare all of this. He's worried about all types of worries of maybe he'll have a loss, maybe his portfolio will, his economic situation will tumble, or maybe he'll be robbed. And maybe he'll suffer other types of losses. He needs to find medical insurances, all sorts of things. And the more property he has, the wealthier he becomes. He's preparing more and more. The more he has, so the more he works to prepare even more. And so, correspondingly, his worries grow. And his hunger becomes so great that he becomes totally fatigued from carrying his load. Right? He becomes washed out. He's so overworked. He's so fatigued. He's so worried. He's so confused in his thinking that it wears him down. And all of these drives to prepare for all types of situations, this becomes his opponent. It becomes his enemy. And it doesn't even allow him to use that which is already with that which he needs now. He can't even enjoy what he has now. Yeah, I heard a story of a certain Meshulach who visited a very wealthy businessman in Mexico, a tremendously wealthy man. And he lives in this mansion, and there's tennis courts and swimming pools and the whole thing. And he was saying to the Meshulach, all of this stuff, I never get to see it. I never get to use it. I never get to use the pool. I never get to play tennis. Nothing. I'm in my office all day. Day and night, I'm in my office. But the kids enjoy it, right? That was his imagination, right? That's what he was thinking. So he can't even enjoy. He can't get pleasure from what he's accumulated. And therefore, even though it's possible for him to quieten his present hunger to a small degree, these types of ambitions, these types of worries, these types of imaginations don't even let him enjoy the present. It comes out that he's tremendously hungry on all sides. There's a frustration, there's an unhappiness. Is a distraction. Achiyomuz Ravi again till he dies hungry and worn out. Now that's the reality of the person who pursues material pursuits, whether his whole life becomes the pursuit of material wealth and material acquisition, material gain, So really there is no satisfaction, there's only added worry and no type of pleasure at all in his life. This now tells a story as follows. Before many years, when I was wandering in the northern countries, northern Europe, Reisi others Zaevim Reivim, I saw a pack of hungry wolves. In his travels, he saw this pack of hungry wolves, Ratzim Umechapsim Azoinim, running and searching for food. They found the carcass of some small animal, must have been a small deer or something like that, mushlochas al adrochim, thrown on the side of the road. The yikfitzu kulam aleho, mevuholim utchufim, and they all pounced. Right? There was a whole pack of wolves. They pounced on this little carcass in a state of panic and pushing and pressured. Right? They were very anxious. However, they couldn't eat the carcass, because each one jumped on the back of the other to get to the carcass. And he was pushing. They were pushing. One was pushing out the other, and not leaving any space. No one had access to this carcass. Each one was pushing the others. They were biting each other. They were fighting with each other. Until they were all wounded, the Yosef domam laroiv, and their blood was dripping. They were bleeding. All of them were bleeding from biting each other, from fighting each other. The Kornil Chamu, he saw this. The Kornil Chamu, so they fought. Adashekulam nishau mutolus al gabi hashelik chosreun, until they were all worn out. They were all panting on the snow without any koyach anymore, any strength anymore. V'raka chodim. And then it was only left to the individuals. In other words, the weaker members of the pack gave up, and they were left panting, bleeding on the side. And there were only individual wolves, Hagiboyrim Behem, the strongest of the wolves, Hema Somushine Nevela, they had their teeth. A number of wolves, the strongest, the most powerful wolves, had their teeth in this carcass. But Tavorega, and that was just for a moment. And then after a moment passed, Inegam Ele, his Charuzebze, these also started competing with each other and fighting each other. Vishuvu Yokubi Nashku Ishazre, and again they were striking and biting one the other. Noshakapatsoya Ade Echot Gova. Right, each one being bitten and wounded until one of them finally he was the victor. Viyechtaf Anavela. And he snatched the carcass, Viyonos, and he fled. So finally one of the wolves, the strongest wolf of all, was able to snatch this carcass, and he ran off with the carcass. Miss Bernanti Lamaria, I was thinking about this sight that I saw. I saw the victor, right? The winner running off for running. He's running. Yeah, they shouldn't catch him. And the whole path that he was running through the snow, he was dripping blood. You could just see the blood in the snow. From the blood from his many wounds, which his friends had wounded him. It's with his blood that he has this victory. He's paid for it. This carcass that he got, he paid for it with his blood. Right, but at least he's going to eat. I love Ne'eman. On this, the pasuk would say, "Benafshe yavi lachmoi." This is a pasuk we mention on Yom Kippur, Shon Yom Kippur. Right, with his life, he brings his food. Right, he pays for his food with his life. Right, people who mamish kill themselves just to survive. V'shavti re'isi v'nisharim, and then I looked at the other wolves. Okay, so he at least got carcass, but he's dripping all over. And what about the other wolves? Their wounds were even worse than his wounds. They lost blood. They lost their strength. What did they gain? What did they profit from their battle with each other? They have to suffer the shame of being conquered. Their friend struck them. Right, these are friends. Yeah? They were a group, and now what happened to their friendship? Right, they were a whole pack. They were working together. Now, where's their friendship? Each one was hitting the other. Such nice friends. Ashechivram hikom yam ochel v'sovev doshim, and he, the friend, the good friend, he's the runoff. He's got the food, and he's eating the whole thing by himself. Right? Vehema svei makris, and they are only sated my wounds. That's their lot. That's all they got. They just got the wounds. Right? And this hunger for which they had this tremendous battle, is just as strong as it was at first. They got nothing out of the whole business. So therefore they had this tremendous fight and they ended up with nothing. This is a reality that he saw. And then I thought about the person who has these drives to achieve material gain. Also, right, when I was thinking about those who have drives, tremendous ambitions to gain huge financial material wealth, so then this picture of this pack of wolves came up in my mind. This is an analogy that we can use for people. They're also competing with each other, right? You have business competitors. They compete with each other. They compete with each other for business. But right? So the one who's competing, he gets wounded and he becomes sick. He's worn out, he's weary. And even the victory, when he is victorious, it's not worth anything. Because his hunger is never sated. Even the one who's victorious, so when it comes to material gains, as we mentioned, not the one who has 100 wants 200, the one who has 200 wants 400. So his hunger is not sated. He didn't achieve anything because he's just as frustrated and unhappy as before. Right? It just keeps growing. But if that's the lot of the winner, what about the one who didn't win? What about the losers? Right? We look at the business world, we look at the newspapers, so they speak about the victors. They speak about those who made it, right? The guys who got to the top, what do they call it, the top 1% of the, right? 90% of the world's wealth belongs to the top percent of the top 1% of the millionaires in the world. Right? What about those who competed and lost? Many people competing, they all want to be, the big millionaires and the big movers and shakers. Most of the world are losers. Right? There's only one winner. And so then most of them comes out, right? There's like a running race. The 100 runners ran, one won, and the 99 didn't win. So therefore, they're just the conquered ones. So they have to lick their wounds, and they have no compensation at all. So we're learning from this that one who has ambitions, we're talking about material ambitions, this one who is hungry is the most unfortunate of all of the creatures in the world. He's actually the most miserable. This one who is hungry, all the time hungry, he's the most miserable creature of all of the creatures in this world. Amnam. However, Yadati es Hashefti Shalene. Okay, I know what you're now going to ask me. The Eichra Shefel Atoiv. So, what's considered a good type of ambition? What is a good? That's a negative ambition. What's a good type of ambition? So, before even we've answered this question, we're already emphasizing here the difference between the giver and the taker. Right? Though these men were material ambitions. They are the takers. So we're already seeing a big difference, a big par between the taker and the giver. The taker is looking only to take more and more and more, drawing more and more to himself. There's ambitions towards taking, and there's an ambition of a giver. The giver also has ambitions, also has a drive, but it's a whole different set. It's a whole different mechanism. This we'll explain in the next chapter. Okay, now I'm skipping ahead in the Hebrew version to page 43, where he speaks about Hashi'ifa Toiva, a good type of ambition. Namik nak tzas hapam. Let's think a little bit more deeply this time. Haravun hu ois hachisrun. Hunger, we said, is a sign of lacking. You hunger for what you don't have, what you're missing, what you're deficient in. Kiamachsei b'mozin hanidrash l'guf adam. A person lacking food, which his body needs, so that makes him hungry. Right? The sensation of hunger comes from a lack. He's lacking So therefore it would be food. He'd be lacking food. He hasn't eaten for 3, 4, 5 hours or 6, 8 hours. So therefore that lack brings about the hunger. And therefore he has the hunger. And so too it is with all ambitions. You know, the source of ambition is lack. Right? There's deficiency. The deficiency results in it arouses the hunger. One who has a drive, one who has ambition, is missing that which he has ambition towards. Right? He wants that which he doesn't have. He doesn't want what he already has. He wants what he doesn't have. Right? Which is to say, a drive, an ambition is a power of drawing. One draws towards himself. He's pulling towards himself. He's drawing towards himself. Right, that's what he wants all the time. Yimshuch el adam dvarim shiyimaleh eschesron. He's always pulling things towards himself that he hopes will fill his hunger. Right? So if you can imagine a person at the table, so he's sitting at his place and his hand is pulling in. Right, he's pulling in the cheese and he's pulling in the fish and he's pulling in the butter and he's taking some more bread and he's taking some more drink. Right, and you see he's like an octopus. Right, the hands are going in and out, in and out. So there's this drawing action. He's involved in drawing, pulling things towards himself. You know, until finally, in his place, right, all the good stuff's by him. Right? So that's shifa. That's a draw. That's a drive for filling a hunger is a pulling drive, right? The chena soiva, so similarly, therefore, that we'd say the one who is satisfied, who asher nismale chisron. So then, the one who is satisfied is someone whose deficiency has been filled, right? His deficiency is filled, so therefore, then he stops pulling. Right? That's the opposite. In other words, we've got the hungry person, we have the satisfied person who stops pulling. Okamu ashif is still this koyach anetila. Right? As we've said, the drive, the ambition is the offspring of the force of taking. He needs to take. A person has a need to take. So he always needs to take. And obviously, what he wants is what he doesn't have. So therefore, what he does have is not really worth anything because he doesn't need that. He doesn't want that anymore. He's got it. He wants what he doesn't have. So he's always pulling towards himself. That is that which is beyond himself. That's the koyach hanetzila, the force of taking. Ein lem soiva, he has no fulfillment because he only wants what he doesn't have. So he's always taking, he's involved in taking, and he can't be satisfied because what he wants is something that's really impossible to ever get, because what he wants is what he doesn't have. So if he has it, then that's not what he wants. So he's always hungry because you can never. When you want something that you don't have, so you can never fulfill such a desire. Okay, that's to explain the power of taking, the force of taking. Echu koyach hanasina. Now, how do we understand the force of giving? How do we understand those who are givers in contrast? So a giver, einenu koyach hamoshech. A giver is not someone pulling towards himself. A giver is not looking to pull towards himself. Because the act of giving comes from a wholeness and not a lacking. And a person who gives to another, it's because he has a sense of not lacking. If he was lacking, he'd be hungry and he'd be pulling towards himself. When he's in a mode of giving, so his feeling is that he is whole. He's not lacking anything. Right? As far as he's concerned, right? The way he's thinking of it, the way he's looking at it, is I don't need, you know, I have whatever I need. I have all that I need. So therefore, it comes from a sense of wholeness. He feels himself whole, and there's nothing lacking. Nevayr, ish kazeh, asher dover choymer enenu shover be'enov lis'anyen boy. But if you have a certain person where material items don't have worth in his eyes, that's something that he's not interested, right? Right, you show him new things and new gadgets, new appliances, new types of furniture, whatever. Not interested. No, it's fine. His furniture is fine. His house is fine. He's not missing anything. His clothing is fine. So therefore, you show him all sorts of things. Not interested. It doesn't inspire him. It doesn't move him at all. He's happy with what he has. And therefore, whatever comes up, he's fine. Right? So also you have that people with food who are like that. You know, whatever you'll give me is fine. You'll give me this, fine. You give me bread, It's also good. You'll give me whatever you'll give me. It's good. It's fine. It's terrific. He'll eat. He's satisfied. He makes a bracha chayna, and he's happy. No problem. Right? Firstly, that type of attitude of just being happy with what you have and making do and feeling good about whatever it is. Right? This is fine. This is fine. Right? Maseilas Yesharim mentions how the stomach becomes just as full whether you're eating stuffed duck. Or eating dry bread, right? It's, both of them fill the stomach the same way. Once the stomach is full, it's full, you know, it's whatever else. So therefore, ish kaze asher dov chayim enenu shov beinov, ze birkas hakel baruch hu, this is the blessing of Hashem. We find in the Torah, it says, ve'achalto ve'savata, you shall eat and you shall be satisfied, which means that's it. I don't need anything more. I'm fine. It's all well. All's good, right? That is the brocha of the Torah, that you will be sated, right? As opposed to, as we were saying before, the person who's eating, he's never satisfied. Imagine that. It's like, what a curse it is, right? You eat, and I just spent 3 hours eating, and he's still hungry. So what have you done? What's it helped, right? So this ability to be sated is a matana tovah hi la'odam yashem yisbroch, is a great gift, a beautiful gift from Hashem. Which means that a person can be whole and not lacking. He's whole and he's not deficient. He has all that he has, all that he needs. Which is which is what he's been created for. Hashem wants us to reach wholeness, perfection. He wants us to be happy in this world. So this comes from the state of being satisfied. Amu Chazal, say the rabbis, Ezu Oshir Hasamech Bechelko. Who is the wealthy person? Who's the person who's truly wealthy? Truly wealthy. He's happy with his lot. He's happy with what he's got. Right? He lacks nothing. Heim Ba'adir Chochmosim Bochnu Bebnei Adam. In other words, the rabbis, the sages, in their huge wisdom, their mighty wisdom, their wisdom into the insight into the forces of a human nature, of human personality, they understood my people, they understood the human character, the human personality. That someone who is whole with the type of wholeness of self, if he feels good with himself, he feels good with what his world and what he has and who he is, he's happy with who he is, saying, you know, I wish I was so and so, I wish I was so and so, I wish I had these talents, right? He's happy, he's whole with what he has and who he is, and he's not hungry. Yismach bechelkei, so he's happy with his lot. Lo yishav lo yisiv bechumius, he doesn't have a drive towards adding to his physical well-being, his material well-being. Hu ha'oshir, so he's wealthy. That's called wealthy. It doesn't matter how much money he's got. It's got nothing to do with how much money he's got. It's got nothing to do with what clothing he wears, or whether he has a house or he doesn't have a house. He has a car. He doesn't have a car. None of this matters. The fact that he is satisfied. He's satisfied with what he has, so that's the definition of wealth. He is wealthy, whereas the person, another person might have tremendous, tremendous wealth, but he's not satisfied, he's hungry, so if you're hungry, that's not considered wealthy. I will call Shah Marvis Bnei Odom, that all of the other people, all the thousands and tens of millions of people, Chaserim Hayim, were missing, they're lacking, he didn't yet get to what he wants. So, Anim, Ra'idim, they are poor paupers, they're needy. Right? That's the individual we speak about, a poor person as being needy. He's in need, you know, so the poor guy, you know, he's only got three helicopters, he needs a fourth one, and so he's needy. He needs it, you know, and therefore he's in need, so he's a needy person. Now, Koyach HaNesina, this force of giving to others, and then Ushoye Elala Sameach, this desire to give to others only rests on the person who is happy, right? Loi rak mistapik. Not only is he satisfied, not only is it sufficient, right? Not just that he's satisfied with his lot, but he's happy with his lot. This is a slightly higher level. We spoke about someone who's satisfied with his lot, and then, right, it's okay, everything's fine. But then you have a person even higher than that who's happy with his lot. It's terrific. This is wonderful. What I have is just what he's happy with what he has. This is a marvelous level. A marvelous level to be happy with all you have, all you are, and all you have. Hu v'rak hu hino anar kenar ashemem of yuboyun v'yavo al kol gidoisav. He only such a person is like a river whose water's full. fill up the runway of the river, and they flow over the banks. Right? So you have a river, you have the ditch in the ground, the digging in the ground where the river pass, which is the wadi that goes through where the river flows through. So the happy person is the one whose whole ditch has been filled with water, and it's also overflowing. There's an overflow. Right, so the joy leads, the person who's joyous, there's an overflowing. There's an overflowing of satisfaction, of happiness. You see, if a person's very happy, so the bigger his happiness, the wider his heart becomes. He wants to, others should enjoy his happiness, others should celebrate with him. Everyone come together, everyone come. He's already putting the food out on the table. Please come join me, right? So if you see a person who's tremendously happy, so he's not mean, he's not narrow, he's already large. That happiness leads to largeness. That's the analogy of the overflowing river, the river that's full, the riverbed that's full, and it's overflowing. And he's looking for his friends that they should take pleasure with him. He's so happy, others must also experience his happiness with him. They must join him in his happiness. This is where we get to our giver. Here is where the giver starts. Right. A giver is someone whose foundation is spirituality. Because if a person's main interest is material gain, so that itself is something that's always lacking. It can never be enough. Material gain can never really satisfy a person. It just doesn't work that way. It's like salt water. You just drink it and you just want more. It doesn't satisfy. But a person whose fundamental personality is about spiritual gain. It's about spiritual gain. And all matters of his life, all the different areas of his life, so his eyes are turning upwards, heavenwards. Right? So if he's eating a meal, he's looking to thank Hashem. He's thinking of the bracha before and the bracha afterwards, and an appreciation, a sense of appreciation, or the great gift of Hashem, the miracle of food, which is able to sate us, which is able to give us energy. So his whole focus is a heavenly type of focus, right? His occupation in this world is all, it's all directed towards spirituality. Hu yir b'chol dover. Godl v'gan kotten is chazdei Hashem. So he sees in every element of his life, great and small, the greatest parts of his life, and even the smallest details of his life. In all of it, all he sees the kindness of Hashem. He just sees, oh, look how Hashem interacts with us. Look how Hashem is with us. Look how Hashem helps us. Look how Hashem takes care of us. Right? So he just sees in every element of his life, he sees the kindness of Hashem. He loitomnu, right? It's unending. Unending kindness of Hashem, all the goodness of Hashem, all the benefits Hashem bestows, the beautiful world we live in. What a beautiful world, what a magnificent world. Look at that sky, and look at the grass, and smell the air, right? And I can walk, and I can move, and right? All of the joy of life is all the kindness of Hashem, which is endless kindness of Hashem, right? Look at the children running in the street, look at, right, running in the park, yeah, not in the street. And when he sees it like this, he's looking from this perspective of, right, he's in Hashem's, he's a guest in Hashem's world. Right, Hashem has made it this huge banquet, and he is a guest, one of the guests in Hashem's world. He rejoices over these gifts, the gift of life, the different gifts, whatever it is, the air that he breathes, whatever it is, these are gifts, the many gifts, and he feels a tremendous joy. So therefore he will have a happy life. His life is full of happiness. And from this type of joy and happiness, so therefore there's an expression of giving and love. Right? Love, we mentioned before, is an outgrowth of giving. So therefore there's a desire to give, and there's a love for other people. He wants to give them, and he loves them. He loves other people. He wants to give them, and he loves them. You're going to go up to a stranger and kiss him, you know, whatever. Okay, exaggerate. Okay, there's a desire to give, and there's a love that pours out of that desire to give. To come to this type of drive will not come to a person who's feeling he's lacking. Someone who says, "No, I don't have," he's miserable because of what he doesn't have. So his whole focus is the person in need. His whole focus is inwards. Oh, look at my terrible lot. Look what I'm missing. Look at what I don't have. Look how miserable it is. Look at my dire situation. So his whole focus, the person who's feeling lack, his whole focus is inwards towards just himself. He's like, he can forget about the whole world. Because he's totally focused on himself. Because his drive is, it's an evil drive of filling this lack, right? So, but the person who is happy is the exact opposite, right? On the contrary, I'm not lacking anything, and everything is joyous, and everything is wonderful, and therefore he wants others to share in his good fortune, and he cleaves to the world, right? He attaches himself to the whole world. His whole focus turns outwards towards others, and he clings to others. The sense of love for other people, the sense of love for the world. He's in love with his world. He's in love with Hashem. The whole focus is turned outwards. And this is the level of the tzaddikim, the superior, the very excellent tzaddikim who act out of love. Right? There's those who serve Hashem from fear, and there are those who serve Hashem from love. So the sense of love is that, look what a plentiful, wonderful situation Hashem has given us. The rabbis explained this idea, and they said, Godel hanena miyegia yosem yirushamayim. Right. The rabbis are teaching us when they tell us in the Gemara that great is the one who gets pleasure from his own toil than one who fears the heavens. We can definitely say that there are people who do the act of giving because there's something forcing them to give, but they're not givers. They're giving, but they're not givers. In other words, there's a reluctance. They give, but there's a reluctance. They're doing it for an ulterior motive, or they're doing it out of fear, right? Use the analogy of the father gives a coin to his son. He says, go put that in the pushka. So the son's looking at the coin. He'd rather put it in his pocket. He can buy an ice cream with it a bit later. But, you know, go and put, that's what he's, you know. So he was given the coin, but, you know, he has to go put it in the pushka. So maybe he doesn't even think of it as his own coin. So it could be that, right? It could be people who give out of a sense of duty. Right, they give because it's a mitzvah to give, but they're not really happy about giving. There's a reluctance. The people who give with a sour face, you know, they knocked at my door, another schnorrer is at my door. So what can he do? So if he doesn't open the door, then, you know, he feels bad. And if he opens the door, you know, how much should he give the guy? Well, what's the least he can give him? Get rid of him, right? So therefore, you have other acts of giving, but we're talking about a person who is the giver and is a force of giving. So that's he wants to give. It's a whole different. It's a sense of
love.
It's a sense of not missing anything. It's just I have so much and I can't even use it all. So, you know, let other people enjoy it. Our sages have explained this idea of the Amrum when they said, "Godel hanena miyegia yoitem yirushamayim." Great is one who enjoys the toil of his own hands than one who fears the heavens. We mentioned that teaching before. Lemo. Now, what's the idea? Great is the person who enjoys his own toil of his own hands more than one who fears the heavens. The one whose benefit is to enjoy his own toil. He doesn't want handouts. He wants whatever he eats, he's worked for himself. So such a person really is the person who's looking more to give than to take. Right? Why does he toil for himself? Because he doesn't want to be a taker in any sense. So he wants to take care of his own needs. And then also together with that, in not being a taker, he wants to be a giver. In not being a taker, he wants to give more than he takes. We spoke about the person who works physically. So he's not charging for his tremendous skills or his tremendous talents, or the fact that he has a very high degree in some university degree, right? He's toiling himself because he's looking to give through his toiling, and not to be taking, getting freebies, getting something for nothing. And as Zeika b'choyach hanesin, which is to say, right, the person who looks to enjoy the toil of his own hands is the one who merit comes from a desire to be a giver. Right, he's giving a service, and the service he's giving is to feed himself, but it's also because he wants to give a service to other people. He wants to serve other people. So he's considered Godel Humi Yirushalayim. He's considered greater than the one who fears the heavens. Ulama, and why? Right, to fear the heavens, isn't that the highest level? The answer is no. Because Bashia Noisin Oisim Avas Hashem, because the one who's the giver is the one who acts ultimately through the love of Hashem. He's doing an act of giving, which is an act of love. Giving is love. So an act, so therefore his act is an act of loving Hashem. That's what the rabbis were referring to when they said the one who enjoys the toil of his hands, where the toil of his hands benefits others, and maybe it feeds himself also, but he's not looking to take from others, but rather only to give to others. So therefore he acts out of love. But the Doyle Madregas, however, is Hashem, Mizashe Yore Oisra. And therefore, great is the level of one who loves Hashem. He acts out of love for Hashem, rather than the one who acts out of fear of Hashem. Achein od lefanein levaris adova, esdova hamarachem anoise bo'oilis chaver. Now, we still have to, basically, we've explained what it means that a person has a drive to give to others. Right? The giving leads to loving. This comes from a sense of fullness. Sense of that I lack nothing, there's no deficiency, everything is wonderful, I'm happy with my life, I'm really happy with my life, I'm really happy with all I have. This is basically, it's a mental attitude that we can choose to adopt for ourselves. Basically, right? There was someone who once said that basically a person is as happy as he decides to be, right? And he's happy because he decided to be happy. Let me be happy, so he'll be happy. He decides to be a happy person, so he's a happy person. So therefore he's happy with his lot. He has everything he needs, and therefore there's an overflowing, and therefore there's a desire that others should share in his good fortune. Now, what we're going to have to see in the next class, please God, is how does that affect someone who's very compassionate for others? He sees other people suffering, and he feels compassion for their suffering. Or someone who helps, right, there's a concept of noiser bo'olim chaveru. He carries the yoke together with his friend. In other words, when his friend has a burden, so he goes to help him. So therefore, he shares in the yoke of his friend. These are considered the very highest traits. A person has compassion for others. He goes to share in the suffering of others. He goes to help out people who are suffering, people who are in pain, people who are sickly. So surely such people are suffering with the pain of their friend. They suffer with others. And why did he go and help him? He feels his pain. He feels his suffering. So isn't this a type of deficiency for himself? If you're suffering the pain of others, isn't that you're feeling deficient in and of yourself? You're suffering with him, so you're also suffering. So you're also deficient. You're also lacking. Right? And this benefiting others will quieten their own inner turmoil, their inner pain, of seeing others suffering. So isn't this similar to the person who has an evil ambition, evil drives? Because we said the person with evil drives, evil ambitions, is because of a sense of lacking. So those who are compassionate on others, aren't they also feeling an internal lacking? So what's really the difference? This is something obviously we understand as positive. The person who suffers for others, he feels the pain of others, so that's something positive. But isn't it similar to the person who feels deficient, I don't have my needs, and therefore he's always hungry? How do we draw a distinction between these two types? So this, please God, will explain in further shiurim.